906.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. There is no question our public schools face many problems, the cure for which seems to increasingly be the responsibility of the classroom teacher. They are being graded on the success rate of their students. They are being asked to adapt their teaching styles to what some might call a one-size-fits-all standard in order for students to receive apples-to-apples evaluations. Teachers have had to work through budget and staff cuts while being pushed toward higher standards. And the common wisdom has always said that teachers hold the country's future in their hands. But for all those responsibilities and for the increasingly important role they play in readying the next generation for the global marketplace, teachers certainly aren't being well compensated. On the contrary, teacher pay has been frozen and, in essence, it has fallen. In truth, North Carolina's teachers are now among the poorest paid in the nation. Teachers used to want to come here to practice their profession. Today we are losing them to other states, and recruitment has become ever more challenging. Worst of all, fewer young people are attracted to the profession. So the issue of teacher pay may be the biggest of the problems facing our schools. Clearly, something must be done, and there are people on both sides of the aisle with proposed solutions. We look at the problem and at some of those solutions this hour with Andos Helms, who has become an expert on the topic as the education reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
The Observer, by the way, is conducting a forum on this topic Monday evening at 7 o'clock at Pease Auditorium at CPCC. We have information on our website about how you might attend that at wfae.org/charlottetalks. Also with us in our Spirit Square studio for our conversation on the topic is Earlene Lyde, Vice President of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Educators and a chemistry teacher in Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools at West Charlotte, correct?
West Charlotte High School, yes.
Thank you for we rarely get a teacher on this program because we're on the air during classroom time, so thank you for making the time for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank my principal.
Okay. And since a lot of the money that CMS gets comes from the county, we invited the vice chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission, Dumont Clark, to join us for the hour. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Glad to be here, Mike.
And with us by phone is Eric Gukian, senior education advisor to Governor Pat McCrory. Thank you for joining us as well.
It's a pleasure to be with you all.
The sad and shocking statistic, because it puts us down next to Mississippi, and Mississippi is always the state everybody points to as being the lowest in almost everything. North Carolina is 46th in teacher pay of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. How long, Ann, has this been the case?
I don't know the exact number of years, but it has been a slow, steady decline in rankings. We had a stretch when we were very consciously trying to improve teacher pay and get closer to the national average and did, in fact, get there. You had the recession hit. You had layoffs. You had pay freezes. So we are sliding. I think their projections are that we'll be at 48th this year once the final numbers are in.
So where did we used to rank before all this began to happen?
I am going to say about 24th, somewhere right around the middle of the pack. And
well,
that
is a precipitous fall.
You are right, actually, Ann, this is Devon. Ann, you are right. It was 25th, I think, in 2008. I'm going to correct you on one thing. You said we had a recession. We didn't have a recession. I think that's one of the things people don't understand. We had the greatest financial catastrophe to occur in the United States in 75 years, and it hit the state of North Carolina particularly hard, and there was a tremendous collapse in the housing market and a tremendous and precipitous drop in government revenues, both at the state and the county level, which is where the school system gets about 90% of its money. And really, but for the fact that the federal government, through the stimulus plan, sort of pumped in a lot of money during the period between 2008 and 2011, it would have been a heck of a lot worse.
But other
Mike, this is Eric, and one thing that I would just emphasize, and I agree with all the comments made, but this is actually a National Education Association statistic. From 2001 to 2011, the state of North Carolina has underinvested in their teachers, negative 15%. And that actually puts us at 51st over the course of that time period. Now, to Dumont's point and others, there have been peaks and valleys in that. But when you look at it on the whole, this is a problem that has been around for over a decade, the recession, or as I think Dumont characterized it correctly, as the financial catastrophe that we endured beginning in 2008, was a significant part of that. But this has been a problem in our state for a long time, and it's not going to be a short-term fix, but a long-term framework and commitment on the part of all of our state to get there.
We did suffer through this financial crisis. We were particularly hard hit for a number of reasons, not the least of which are the presence of banking in our state and in our city, mm-hmm. and the fact that a lot of manufacturing jobs just evaporated and they're not coming back, and so we've been slow to recover. All of that's true. But it seems as though that a lot of this has fallen, a lot of the negatives of this has fallen on the backs of teachers. Were other state employees equally affected by this?
Well,
that's what I was going to say. Everybody else, teachers understood during that time that we had to take some hits. But since then, we've had raises at the state level. We've had raises at the county level. There have been no raises for teachers. Even the step increases that people say, well, you're going up a step in experience, we're getting no cost of living adjustments for that. And so now our pay scale has ballooned to 37 steps instead of 30. And so now it takes 37 years to get to the top of this pay scale. So we're employees when people want to balance the budget on and take tax cuts. But when it's time to give raises, then we're not in the same boat.
So what you're saying is the state employee.
Earlene, what I would say in regards to that is, and I agree that having 37 steps is an archaic model, and having that amount of steps just based on how much time you hang around. And don't get me wrong, experience matters. But I and Governor McCrory, we favor getting really decreasing the number of steps, if you will. To bases so that teachers can earn more money faster, which is why we announced before the session in February that we would take the first step towards doing that with the base pay increase. As I think everybody knows, the state, a teacher in our state begins teaching at $30,800. As Earlene mentioned, the those steps have been frozen since the recession for over 6 years.
But those steps have been frozen for everybody. And so when you're just talking about giving new teachers coming in that raise, then you're talking about people coming into the profession, into the schools, making more money than people who have been here 10 years.
And I want to get to that. I want to spend a lot of time on that later in the program, because that's one of the solutions that's been proposed. And there are several solutions that have been proposed to this, and that's the governor's solution. And I want to get the teachers' reaction to that, among other things. We used to be a state that teachers wanted to come to, not just for pay, but because of the way we regarded education and the value of education from the primary schools all the way up through our university system. Is that still the case?
No.
Why not?
With all of the layoffs, reforms, etc., you've gotten a reputation out there as someone who's really disrespects teachers. And sad to say, this is the first time in my 32 years of teaching that I cannot look at one of my students who I know would be a good teacher in the classroom and say, come into teaching. This is not.
You won't encourage them to do that.
I will not.
Are they discouraged on their own? I'm wondering what message this sends, that we pay teachers so little, and we demand so much of them, and we blame them for not. If our students don't achieve, it's the teacher's fault, not the parent's fault. It's not the child's fault who didn't do his homework and didn't study. It's the teacher's fault. Right. So what do young people look at when they see you at the front of the classroom? Are you silly for being there in their eyes?
Yes, yes, you are. In fact, they say, this is not worth it. Why are you doing this? I couldn't do this. This is not enough money. And they look at, what is happening in the classroom, what is happening to teacher morale, what is the stress that they're under, and they say, I'm not going to do this for this little bit of money.
Is this a particularly North Carolina problem, or is it a public school problem across the country?
Well, I think it's hard for all of us to address things across the country, but I think we need to focus on I'm particularly interested in what's happening in Mecklenburg County,
right,
Mike. And we as you know, Mecklenburg County has provided a significant supplement to teachers. We're going to continue to do that. The teachers did actually have one raise in the last 5 years. It was actually when Governor Perdue was our governor, and she proposed a 3% increase for all state employees. The legislature gave the teachers and all state employees a 1.8% increase. Mecklenburg County actually contributed 1.2%. They got a total of 3%.
You're on the county commission, so you probably know the answer to this. What's the starting salary for state for a county employee who does whatever they do in county agencies?
Well, I do not know. It depends. If I hire somebody as my general manager or as my manager, I pay them one thing. If I hire
somebody, if I could jump in on that.
Sure.
This is, I think, a crucial issue in this debate. When we talk about everybody, regardless of what their contributions to the field is, making the same amount based strictly on the amount of time they spend in their profession, nobody, state and public and private, pays their workers that way. And I think it's important that we develop a model whereby teachers are, based on their contributions to the field and based on their performance, and by that I mean student achievement, their ability to mentor other teachers, and their ability to continuously improve themselves and their peers.
Eric, I completely agree with that, but you've got to raise base pay in this state first to attract teachers and keep them here, and then you can put in all those other measures of performance.
I want to get I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to find out what beginning employees in the state make, because you're saying a beginning teacher makes X amount of dollars, and that teacher needs to show leadership. They need to show collaboration with other teachers. They need to be mentors for others. You don't ask that of an incoming clerk in the Department of Agriculture.
But I do think they're not being disingenuous.
I think you're misunderstanding me, Mike. What I'm saying is that we deserve to have a base pay, and that base pay needs to be increased. And by the base pay, I don't just mean the starting salary. I mean salaries for all teachers. Okay, that's what I mean. We have to do better. But in addition to that, we ought to have channels and choices for teachers. Look, if somebody wants to be a teacher that's contributing to their students, doing their job, that's what we need to make policies for. And too often we make policies for the 15% that are superstars and the 15% that maybe need to find something else to do. We need to make policies for that critical middle, for that 70% that are doing things. And we are far behind in that, and we've already gone through the numbers. But what we also have to do is give teachers that are beginning in the field, if they work hard and if they continue to do the contributions to the field, leadership, mentoring their peers, then they're able to earn significantly more. And that's not what we're doing right now. What we're doing is we're simply saying we need to just continue to we need a model that allows for teachers, based on their contributions to the field, to move forward.
But what I think you're missing in that point is new teachers need veteran teachers to mentor them and support them as they navigate those first career. The highest turnover in teachers is during the first 5 years of teaching, and that was before all of the problems with pay, and that's
right.
Because it depended on what kind of situation they had in their schools.
And the turnover ratio, I think at CMS, is 16% of teachers' turnover each and every year. We have to take a break. Coming back with more with Ann Doss Helms from The Observer, Earlene Lyde with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Educators, Dumont Clark with the County Commission, and Eric Gukian. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Cincinnati Insurance Companies, offering business, home, auto, and life insurance through a network of independent agents supported by local claims service. Information at CINFIN.com. Not all coverage is available in all markets. Well, there's been some upheaval lately in local government with the arrest and resignation of former Charlotte Mayor Patrick Cannon, and that has raised some questions about how local government business is conducted and about the interaction of government with business. So we're going to spend a couple of days next week talking about that, and we'll begin Monday with the county. We'll meet and speak with Mecklenburg County Manager Dina DiOrio, who took over from Harry Jones about a year ago, actually, and she promised change when she assumed office, and evidently she is delivering it. We find out what residents can expect with her at the helm Monday at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup, Senate Republicans block a vote to increase the federal minimum wage. The Supreme Court upholds an EPA rule limiting cross-state pollution, and the April jobs report.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about teacher pay in North Carolina, which is historically low and among the lowest, if not the lowest, in the nation, depending upon which measure you use to figure that out. Ann Doss Helms is with us. She's the education reporter for the Charlotte Observer. They are holding an open forum on this, a public forum on this, Monday night at 7 at CPCC's Pease Auditorium. You can find information about that and how to go on our website at wfae.org/charlottetalks. Earlene Lyth is with us, Vice President of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Educators and a chemistry teacher. I bowed to you because I did terribly in chemistry. Dumont Clark, Vice Chair.
Me too.
I got most of what I got through osmosis, which is the only term I learned and remember from chemistry.
Well, students still have your feelings toward it.
Mon Clark is with us. He's the vice chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission, and Eric Gukian is senior education advisor to Governor Pat McCrory. We have gotten some calls from people who want to know why we have no one on from CMS. Reason is a couple of fold. First of all, Heath Morrison was just with us about a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And secondly, this is not about CMS. This is about teachers in North Carolina overall. So we didn't feel it necessary to have the superintendent on when we have a teacher on, and we have a county commissioner, and they supply some of the money. For that. I've been told that teacher pay in North Carolina is the same as it was today in 1970, adjusted for inflation, which is a shocking statistic, actually. But there are those, Earlene, who say that throwing money at this problem is not the solution, and that further, no one gets into teaching thinking that they're going to get rich doing this. The average North Carolina teacher makes $45,737 a year, under the national average of $56,103. What's the average at CMS? Do you know?
No, I don't have that particular number.
Are you hearing, what are you hearing from teachers about the pay situation?
Teachers are saying they can't afford to feed their families without working two and three jobs. That means they're taking away the quality time from their families. Also, teachers are saying with the stresses that they're under, it's just not worth it. And you will see a high turnover of teachers at the end of this year if something does not happen.
Well, we have a comment from our website. If teachers could get whatever they wanted, how much would be enough?
Well, people want to be compensated for, you know, what they're doing during the day. The promise was, with the step, you got a cost of living like 1% adjustment each year. That has not happened. There were some promises made to teachers in terms of being paid for if they got further education. That has not happened. That's what teachers are angry about, that you're treating them as if they are not essential to the classroom. And that's what the pay raise at the state level was about. This was a 4% for essential personnel. Teachers aren't essential in the classroom?
Now, I said at the beginning of the program that we are having difficulty recruiting teachers to come to North Carolina. We're also losing teachers to neighboring states. Is there empirical evidence, Ann, that that really is happening?
Well, there are teacher turnover studies, and they break down all sorts of different reasons, because you can leave for everything from being fired to your family relocating out of state. But certainly I'm hearing those stories, and we talk about the kind of people we're leaving, and we talk about what's unique to teaching. This is a profession that I think evolved as women's work, and that's not unique to North Carolina, but it was one of the few options that was available to women, and it was paid lower. And so what you have now, I think, is a job that works very nicely as a second salary. You know, if you're a teacher and you've got a spouse who's making as much or more, you're doing fine. But one of the people that I'm featuring in a story in Sunday's paper is a young man, went into teaching. He's very good. His principal loves him, doing great work, really wants to keep him. Says she was heartbroken when he came and said, "We just had our first baby. My wife wants to stay home for a while. I can't support them and provide them health insurance on this, and he's 6 years into the job, but he's essentially getting starting pay. And it's an amount that's very hard to support a family on.
Isn't it unreasonable for somebody after 6 years on the job to be still making starter pay? If you were in any other profession other than teaching and you were found yourself in that situation, that would speak volumes to you. Either you're in the wrong career or you're in the wrong place. You're working for the wrong people, and you would be looking for another job, wouldn't
Mike,
you?
I think we all agree on that, which is why the first step of a comprehensive pay increase model was that we would address that incredibly low $30,000 base pay and move it up so that every teacher in the state, regardless of whether they're from Mecklenburg or Warren County, begins at $35,000. That is just a start, but that is a 14% increase for teachers in the first 7 years of the profession. It is a first step. You know, Erlene has mentioned the veteran teachers, and look, veteran teachers deserve an increase as well. One of the things I'd want to emphasize that's happening in Charlotte that I think is a model not only for the state to follow, but for the nation, is what's happening in Project Lift, and particularly with teachers like Kristen Cubbage, who is a multi-classroom leader and is making up to 30-40% above her salary based on her ability to lead other teachers. Now, that's the kind of thing, you know, I've spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks with the North Carolina Teachers of the Year, because we just named James Ford out of Charlotte Mecklenburg Garinger High the statewide Teacher of the Year. And I've met with Teachers of the Year for over the course of the last 5 years. Here's something that's startling, and this is anecdotal, but over half of the Teachers of the Year the last 5 years have left the profession. And so what we're saying is that even if you're outstanding, you're going to have better opportunities outside of the classroom. We try to move people out of the classroom when they're really excelling with their students. We tell them to move up to administration.
But I just met recently with a group of teachers, and what they say is when they look at their peers, they're being promoted at a faster rate. They're earning more pay at a faster rate. They have more opportunities. And so I was on the CMS Compensation Task Force, and I understand the need for both a career pathway and different ways of doing that. But we're in a crisis right now. We're in a crisis right now in terms of we've got to retain teachers, and because the good ones are leaving, the ones who are going to support the new teachers coming in are leaving, and so we've got to do something drastically in this state.
Eric, this is DeMond.
I was just this morning, I was with some prominent business leaders throughout our state with Governor McCrory, and you would think they would be talking about business-oriented things. The only subject that they talked about was education in our state.
Eric,
so whether you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, whatever it is your party affiliation has to be, this is an issue that that we all have to move together on in our state.
Eric, I agree, and that's what we're all in this to do, is to solve it together. This is DeMond Clark. I applaud Governor McCrory for his desire to, or his proposal to raise the compensation for starting teachers, but that leaves about 60,000 teachers, I think, statewide, basically with no increase at all. And really, the legislature made a momentous decision. I think we'll look back at the legislative session of 2013 and the tax cuts that were announced in July of last year, which basically mean the state does not have the money. You're barely going to have the money to do this increase for the starting teachers, and I think that's important. I think it's a good first move. But what we've really got and what we have to face and be brutally honest about, and the governor and the legislature need to recognize this, I know they want to move in the way of establishing a strictly performance-based compensation system, but you have a terrific morale problem. And you have a terrific stress problem on your workforce. I mean, you said earlier nobody else compensates people at the same level, the same way in business or in academia. But I have a daughter who's a lieutenant in the United States Navy. If you're in the military, you have a classification. You're an 03, an 02, an O, whatever, an E6, and everybody gets paid the same thing. You know, it would be nice if they could get a performance bonus. And I think that's a way to move. But I think what's happened, unfortunately, is not, in addition to simply not giving teachers essentially a cost of living increase, the state leadership has created enormous uncertainty for everyone. I mean, first we had the Common Core, and then just the other day, they're, you know, now it's out. You know, you've set up this, the legislature directed that 25% of teachers get a $500 a year increase over 4 years if they gave up tenure, and then, but no direction as to how to do it, and a state judge has just declared that unconstitutional. I mean, there's just...
Everything you're saying underlines a point that a lot of people secretly believe, whether they say it or not, that education is a political football, and that there are those on some side of the aisle, maybe the far side of one side of the aisle, who really want public education to go away.
Absolutely. I believe that. It's a war on public education, and it's an attempt to access the public education dollars.
I don't agree with that statement. I have to say.
Would you agree that it's a political football? That politics is playing a role in education with all these gyrations back
and forth? I think education is absolutely a political football right now, and I think what we need to do is get beyond our talking points on both sides of the aisle and trying to find a common sense solution. Okay. I think what Dumont said about a military model or a nursing model is exactly where we need to be.
Now the teachers, Eric, the teachers have suggested raising the base pay of teachers at, this is not the governor's proposal, this is the teacher's proposal, raising the state level base pay by $10,000. And once that is set, they say that is when performance and other measures can be introduced as part of the compensation plan. What would it cost the state? What would it cost taxpayers to do that?
I don't know what it would cost to do a $10,000 increase, but I think it would be cost prohibitive. And I, what I would say is that we need to find a both and solution. I don't think that we have gone nearly far enough with the initial announcement. And what we intend to do is to move forward in the short session with whatever it is that we can do. The short session is coming up in the middle of May, and then. We hope in the not too distant future to be announcing a comprehensive model. And I want to be clear that whatever it is that we announce is a framework and a model, and it is not a mandate. What we need to ensure that we're doing in this process is listening to educators like Erlene, listening to our community partners like Dumont, to ensure that this is a local control issue, an issue where the folks that know the most about this, people like Denise Watts, Heath Morrison, are really driving the agenda. This should not be coming down on high from Raleigh.
But Eric,
that's something we believe in very strongly here in the governor's office.
Well, you may, but the legislature has taken a totally different approach. It has dictated this 25% of teachers get a 500% raise, and they basically $500 a raise.
Funded for the first year, by the way.
$500 over 4 year period, and given essentially no direction as to how to implement it. And school systems are in sort of total disagreement and approaching it in totally different ways across the state. The direction is all coming from above as opposed to coming from the local.
Well, the legislators would say that giving no direction is giving flexibility. And I've heard legislators say, the local folks say they want flexibility, and here we gave it to them, and they say they really don't want it. I think what the local folks would say is, you gave us flexibility on a really bad plan.
This plan, the legislature voted to offer a $500 a year raise in 4-year contracts for 25% of each district's qualified teachers, whatever that means, in exchange for their relinquishing tenure, which is going to expire anyway in 2018.
Lawsuit against that.
Where does that stand?
Well, actually, where it stands is that in Guilford County and Durham County, a state superior court judge has declared it issued a preliminary injunction against it.
Yes, your organization, the North Carolina Association of Educators, right, and the Guilford and Durham County School Board sued to block the plan.
Yeah.
Where was Mecklenburg in all of this?
Well, Mecklenburg chose not to join that lawsuit, and we still don't know. Actually, no one knows whether it applies outside of Guilford and Durham County. We won't know until the judge actually writes the opinion.
Why did Mecklenburg decide not to join it?
That was the school board's decision, and I cannot answer for the school board.
What they basically did was say, we don't like this plan.
Uh-huh.
We would respectfully ask you, and I think they're probably playing some smart politics rather than going really adversarial. They're saying, please give us another year. Put this on hold. Save the money for us. Let us come up with our own plan. And actually, the task force created by the state legislature came to a somewhat similar conclusion. And I've heard this from a number of experts that nobody has come up with a universal statewide plan to say, boom, this is how to do teacher pay everywhere across the state, that there really does need to be some local design with the school boards and the teachers coming up with their own long-term plan. Sort of the irony of this, though, is that we've been through several rounds of this and we've never quite gotten past the starting point.
Mostly because of the funding required for that kind of plan, and it has to be allotted at the state level.
Most of this, correct me if I'm wrong, most of the money for teachers' salaries today comes from the state with a supplement from counties, correct?
Yes, teachers are actually, teachers are state employees. Okay. All teachers are state employees, although in Mecklenburg County there are a number of teachers, and I do not know the exact number out of the 9,000 or so teachers that are paid entirely with local money. But all certified employees of Mecklenburg, Charlotte Mecklenburg School System receive a supplement to their state salaries, which is which comes from Mecklenburg County.
And is that true in every county in the state or just?
No, it is not. I would say maybe
most do some supplement.
Most do some supplement, but it varies from about 6,000 in Wake. It's about 5,900, I think, here on average, and 55.
Zero in a place like Halifax.
Yeah.
A place like Halifax County, some of your poorer rural counties, you know, there's no tax base there.
And so Charlotte Mecklenburg wants, the school system wants to give a 3% pay raise to all of its employees. That will cost about $27 million, and they are coming to the county for that money. Is that money there?
Well, it could be. I mean, we control the county property tax rate, and so you know we have that. That's the one source of revenue over which the county commissioners actually have control. We increased it last year. I do not think that we will increase it this year. We don't. What we're basically do when you make a budget, Mike, is you forecast your revenue for the year ahead. We're going to receive an updated revenue forecast next week, week after, perhaps. We'll have a better idea of actually what our forecasted revenue is based on the current tax rate.
But given the gyrations that have been going on with land revaluations, property revaluations, is this a politically inopportune time to actually have to go in and raise the tax rate on property?
Well, as I said, I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think the question really is going to be, do we maintain the current property tax rate or do we decrease it? But let me just say this real quickly so the public knows. We reached a high water mark of local county support for school system in 2008 of about $351 million. Mm-hmm. When the financial collapse hit us, we had a 14 or 15% decrease. We laid off a whole lot of – we closed libraries. Remember that?
Yeah.
We laid off a lot of county employees, and our support for the school system dropped precipitously by about 15% to 300-some million. Mm-hmm. We've gotten back to last year. We were at $356 million. That's about a 21% increase from the hole we were in.
When we come back, I want to talk about some of these proposals to raise teacher pay, including Governor McCrory's proposal, and we'll do that in just a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE members and Blue Bloods on WBTV. Tonight's original episode is at 10, followed by WBTV News at 11, reporting facts, getting answers, finding solutions. WBTV on your side.
And today is Friday. That means the weekly news roundup is coming your way in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. Diane and a panel of journalists will talk in the National Hour at 10 about Senate Republicans blocking a vote to increase the federal minimum wage, the Supreme Court upholding the EPA rule limiting cross-state pollution, and the Department of Labor releasing its April jobs report. Those stories, among others, they will be tackling in about 20 minutes. If you'd like to join our conversation about teacher pay in North Carolina and in Charlotte, get on touch, get on board with us at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back.
Hey, how'd you like to help this radio station and spiff up your driveway at the same time?
What are we doing, going into the paving business once again?
No, it's Car Talk's new vehicle donation program where you donate a car. The proceeds benefit this station, and you tuck it to the IRS at the same time.
Hat trick!
And you can do it all on the web. Donate your car through CarTalk's vehicle donation program.
Go to WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins in advance of a Charlotte Observer Forum on this very topic, teacher pay, on Monday night at 7 at Pease Auditorium at CPCC, which we have information about on our website and undoubtedly on the Charlotte Observer's own website. Ann Doss Helms joins us. He's the education reporter for the paper. Earlene Lyde is vice president of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Association of Educators and a chemistry teacher at West Charlotte. Dumont Clark, vice chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission, and Eric Gukian, senior education advisor to Governor Pat McCrory. Both sides of the aisle acknowledge that this is a problem that must be addressed, although it is a political football because both sides of the aisle have very different approaches to this. The governor is proposing, Eric, raising the pay for beginning teachers. Why just beginning teachers?
We made this first step due to the fact that a couple of reasons. As I believe it was Earlene mentioned, and this is a national stat, that teachers leave in the first 5 years. Money alone, as Earlene mentioned, is not going to solve that issue. But we knew that in the first 5 years, that's where the highest turnover is. It's also obviously where the lowest raise is, and where the lowest salary is. So we made the decision in the first step of a larger plan, of a larger model, to increase that base pay to $35,000 for every teacher in the state of North Carolina. And again, I want to really emphasize that that was a first step, and there'll be more to come.
But if I'm right about the governor's proposal, if it were to be adopted, teachers who have been in public schools teaching for 8 years would still be making what first-year teachers make.
Yes.
Would you stay in your job for 8 years?
That's actually not accurate. In the first phase, nobody makes the same amount. In the first phase, it'll be $33,000 in year seven, and then in year eight, the teacher will earn slightly more than that. It's not a lot, then they go back on the step, but nobody actually lost money in this.
But you said this is a first step, and I don't know what the other steps may be down the road. And of course, if you enact the first step, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to enact the second, third, or fourth steps. So what message is that sending to teachers who are long-term? And what about the value of an experienced teacher over a beginning teacher? It's one thing to offer a nice starting salary, but if you've been performing well in the classroom and you've been there for 15 or 20 or 30 years, isn't it kind of a slap in the face that you don't get a raise, but the beginning teachers do?
I think that and I believe everybody on the panel has talked about the instability in the profession right now, and I think that's real. It's a tough time to be an educator in our state, and I think we need to recognize that. We made a decision, and these are tough decisions. You know, I send my own child to Shamrock Gardens, and they're sending her now to E.K. Poe in Durham. I have a 15-year veteran that teaches my child. So these are tough, tough policy decisions, but with limited financial resources, this is where we decided to go in the first
place. I'm just trying to understand the reasoning behind rewarding beginners with no experience over those who have experience.
No, it's actually not beginners, Mike. It's actually in the first 9 years of the profession where you have the highest turnover, and where data shows us that teachers tend to peak and leave. They leave after 5 years, and they tend to peak in terms or plateau in terms of their eighth year.
But doesn't
there are two dynamics going on here when they talk about those first years, and one is that the system, if it was working as it was supposed to, may not be all that appealing to young teachers because it just has these very small increases each year, and there's a pension, and there's So you have one group saying that this is not appealing to the millennials who want to be able to hit their peak earnings quicker, and if they get good, they stay, and if not, maybe they move on. But the system we have is broken, and I think everybody agrees on that, because now those steps don't occur. That first step doesn't occur until year six instead of year one.
Why do teachers leave in the first 9 years? Is it because they realize this is not for them? They realize they're not particularly good at it? They don't like the way the way that they become a part of a political situation, and one year they're teaching Common Core and the next year they're not. One year they're allowed to be creative in the classroom. Next year they're teaching to the test. They're not making enough money. What are the reasons? What's the reason?
Well, I think Erlene said it best. I said Erlene said it best when she mentioned the that you need mentors and you need teachers that are going to work with the, but I don't think
and that's why all of these plans do not take in part into account the culture that's in a school. The support that new teacher gets from those veterans around them, I don't care how natural and how good that new teacher is, and I do acknowledge that there are some, but that support that they get from around them is essential to keeping them in the profession. What you have done with these policies is created a feeling in veteran teachers that I'm not going to help somebody take my job. I'm not going to help somebody get rid of me. So therefore, you've got a contentious situation in school buildings when we ought to be collaborating with each other and we ought to be supporting each other for the greater good of the children in that school. And so this teacher churn is hurting children, and that's where I have a problem with that.
What's the teacher reaction to the governor's plan?
The teachers don't trust any of this stuff. Even if it comes to fruition, it's not going to be here long. We watch things come and go and come and go and come and go. So we don't trust that.
We don't trust that
it's going to be funded.
It's a little thing, but I think one thing that has really hit a lot of teachers, it's symbolic. And unfortunately, symbols are very powerful things in society. And that is one of the things the legislature did in the last long session was they authorized these private school vouchers.
Exactly.
And I think what that did is not a lot of money. It's like $10 or $12 million. It's actually been also ruled unconstitutional, at least at the preliminary level, by a Superior Court judge. But I think what it did was it symbolically sent a message to our teacher corps throughout the public school system that we don't value you, and symbols are a very, very powerful thing. Call them what you will, political football or whatever. But I think that our policymakers, as good intentioned as they may be, I think are sending a lot of not only just mixed messages and creating uncertainty, which all my Republican friends say is terrible for business. I think it's just as bad for education, and I really do think it's a terribly disruptive and a morale. I mean, it's sort of like kicking sand in somebody's eyes.
I think that dynamic that we heard between you and Eric just now is kind of illustrates what's going on, that people want to know what is the long-term plan. And we've got a lot of people, and I think this legislative session is going to be about a short-term patch. I think it's going to be probably 2015 when I hope we'll hear some really serious discussion of the long-term plan and the costs and where the money's going to come from. But I think we've discussed this on another show. It's kind of like...
Might be hearing it sooner than that, Ann.
Good. Maybe you'll announce it Monday, I'm hoping. But it's like if you tear out your kitchen to remodel it...
Maybe not that soon, but pretty soon.
That's kind of a temporary inconvenience. But if you tear out your kitchen and then you turn to your spouse and say, I wonder if we have the money to remodel this, you might need a good divorce lawyer. And I think that's kind of where people feel like we are now. Yeah,
so
that we're dismantling the old system, but we don't really know what the new system is.
I know that you have put together a package for the Charlotte Observer on teacher pay, on the many proposals that exist on raising teacher pay. The GOP plan, I take it, is that the governor's plan?
Yes, and it is not just the governor himself. I think that some of the legislative leaders stood with him on that.
And you characterize that as costing $200 million over 2 years and the prospects for its passage as being strong.
Yes, I'm guessing Eric would agree with that. If not, he can step in and correct me. But certainly when you've got the party that's in power, and not just the governor but the legislative leaders, I think they're likely to be able to pass
that. And there's something called the 25% plan. What is that?
That's the one that DuMont's been talking about quite a bit that has already been passed and is moving maybe toward implementation. It's supposed to take effect right away, but as noted before, it's in court and there's an injunction at least in a couple of districts.
There's one that you call Make Them Whole.
Yes, and that's a plan that's out there, and I believe the North Carolina Association of Educators, the Public School Forum of North Carolina, PTA Council, School Boards Association, there are quite a number of groups that say, get teachers back to where they should have been. If there hadn't been all these freezes, put them back to where they should have been on the old step scale. And that's not necessarily the long-term solution either, but that's something you got to do just for starters. And
it costs about $428.5 million for teachers, another $25.5 million if principals and assistant principals are included. And you say that this pumps a lot of money back into reviving a pay scale that state leaders believe is outdated and dysfunctional. Therefore, the chance of it taking place is very slim. Is it outdated and dysfunctional?
No, I don't think so. What is happening in other states that they're using a blended model. They're using the step process, plus they're using the pay for performance model. Those are the best plans out there. I would also like to take this opportunity to correct a number I put out there about the 3% increase that is being proposed to the county commission. The way I calculated it, it came up to be $9, but I have since been educated in how it is actually calculated, and so a new teacher would get about $92 a month from that particular 3% increase, and a teacher at the higher level would get a $158 a month increase in their supplement for that. A
couple of other plans on the table here. The career ladder plan, which I think is something that CMS is promoting. Is that correct?
It is. And again, DeMont made reference to that. It's taking place in Project Lift this year. And it's getting really a lot of interest statewide and nationally. The idea being that you create some positions where those teachers who might have had to leave the classroom and become an administrator to get a good raise, in fact, take over a leadership role for several classrooms. For instance, you might be in charge of math for your middle school, and you're working with and coaching other teachers, and you get that job because you've demonstrated strong results, and you are then evaluated on whether all those students actually do better. I think that's really exciting, and one thing people like about it is that you can do that with existing resources, but, and it's a big but, if you actually read the proposal from Public Impact, which is the consulting company that is behind all this, they're very clear, and Heath Morrison has been very clear, this is not the answer. This is one part of a package, and there does need to be dramatic increases to the base salary. And I think the estimate that they gave in here, and you probably can read it better than I can, about $450 million statewide. So and that's one thing everybody says. You can't do this on the cheap.
And that was part of the proposal from the CMS Compensation Task Force that teachers were a part of.
Mm-hmm. Carolina CAN plan, the North Carolina Campaign for Achievement Now, it's an advocacy group. They've outlined a plan that combines a lot of the different plans on the table.
Right. And I think that's the long-term solution is going to be a combination of a lot of components. And I think most people would agree that some kind of increase in the base pay has got to be part of it. And then the question becomes, do you shift some money from some of the things that we have? Because there are some teachers that do reasonably well in this system. If you accumulate experience, if you get a master's degree, if you get national board certification, we have one of the more generous rewards for national board certification. So right now there are ways that you can get to a pretty good competitive salary. Do we, if we're talking about right now that system is too much loaded toward the people who are going to stick it out for 25 or 30 years, and we need to put some of that into the early years, do you take away from somewhere? And that's going to be a difficult discussion to have.
Let me bring up one more plan. That's the Jacob Vigdor plan. Mm-hmm. He's a professor of public policy and economics at Duke, and he has a plan that would eliminate pay for advanced degrees, reduce the 12% raise granted for national board certification, and increase pay for early career teachers, eliminating or reducing raises for teachers later in their career. You've described this, Anne, as a plan that won't happen this year, but one that conservative reformers like. But the question is why? I mean, it just seems to me to lead to lower quality teachers who are not going to go get their advanced degrees because they're not going to be compensated for that. If you have national board certification, it won't mean anything, and you're giving, once again, the perks to the entry-level teachers and ignoring the people who have been there forever.
Yeah, and he's not calling for eliminating. Right now, board certification gets 12% increase, which is a pretty decent raise. He was saying you could cut that down somewhat, but exactly what you're saying is the kind of debate that you'll hear. Nobody has a plan that everybody loves. Everybody agrees it needs to be fixed, but it's the specifics that get really thorny.
It is one of the things.
None of this is simple.
Exactly.
And none of this is cheap, as Anne was saying.
And I think taking a step back from just preparing, just compensating our teachers, I think one of the things we really need to do is focus on on really putting the resources into our teacher preparation programs. The Obama administration has just come forward with a proposal. Apparently, they're going to come out with rules this summer that will sort of grade and evaluate different teacher preparation programs. We have a lot of them in this country, and I think some of them are a lot better than others. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that we really need to start preparing our teachers and putting the resources into preparing our teachers just as we do for our doctors. And our lawyers.
Teaching Fellows program has been eliminated, where you could, at least the students in North Carolina had an opportunity to go into teaching and get some of their student loans taken care of. But now we don't have that pipeline.
Eric,
and check out there and see how many people are going into teacher
programs. Eric, you said this is a difficult problem, and it absolutely is a difficult problem. There's no easy solution, and it's all going to take a lot of money. And I know that the governor's office didn't do this. The legislature made this decision. But since you're the only state government representative on the panel, I'll ask you about this, because income tax cuts have gone into effect. And as a result, tax collection revenues have declined. Medicaid continues to be a growing burden on the state. How do you handle rising Medicaid costs, the need to raise teacher pay, the need to do a lot of other things around the state as well, and have tax cuts?
Well, I think that
you're
asking questions that are above my pay grade, but what I would say is that we need to focus, and it's interesting, I don't think we've mentioned students once in this conversation, and I think we need to focus on what's going to be best for our students, and we know that teachers are the number one factor in student success. So I look forward to a comprehensive plan coming out soon, and to having a rigorous debate on this incredibly important issue.
Eric Gukian is Senior Education Advisor to the Governor, Governor Pat McCrory, Dumont Clark, Vice Chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission, Erlene Lyde, Vice President of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Association of Educators, and Ann Doss Helms, Education Reporter for the Charlotte Observer. Thank you all for the hour.
Thank you, Mike.